I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jesse.
We're Cannabis School. Having cannabis-infused conversations
with everyday people,
cannabis companies,
celebrities,
and your mom.
Welcome to the sesh.
Yo, 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 yo. What's up?
Yeah, welcome. We were able to give you that intro episode of why we created this new sesh.
Yeah.
This is all from you. We wanted to create something that was a little bit more more in depth.
Where diverse.
We could go more into people. And cannabis comes up in all these conversations, and you're going to see this. We've got a lot of interviews set up, and that's another reason why we did that, because we felt that there was that disconnect, and that's why we said it in the last video. So on this episode, what we want to do is kind of let you get to know us a little bit personal way. And I'm going to
We never really went into it on Cannabis School.
We never have.
We're going to get to know Jesse.
Yeah, and we're going to get to know Brandon.
Just a little better.
And you know, I'm going to start it out, and I'm not going to do the whole like origin story, because I think that's so played out, and it's such a generic trope. So what I want to do is, I'm just going to go into some other things for you, man. So favorite change that you have made in your life.
Oh my God, I already got it.
In the last year.
Oh, year. Fuck. Okay, never mind.
So on that, thinking about what I meant by that is, you know, when we make a lot of like, you know, Brandon and I, we've changed so much over the years. And the time that I've known Brandon, Brandon has gone from several different personality types to where he is now. And I think this is more of his true form. He's finally molted into a butterfly. And so he...
I'm a beautiful little butterfly.
Yeah, he's flying around and acting like a little bit of a fairy, right?
What?
But I mean, I say like, you know, he's totally a different person now. So
yeah.
It's one of the things that I've loved about cannabis, man, is seeing the progression of who you were from how long we've known each other. Now, I'm married to his cousin, and...
God, how long has that been? 18 years?
For us?
Yeah.
Since 2005. So 18 going on, either going on 18 or going on 19. Yeah. And I've been with my wife for 20 years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel like a long time.
But me and him have been really, at least good friends since.
I would say, since we got into sales. So Brandon and I,
years.
Yeah, we've both been into like sales support roles, marketing roles. Throughout our
lifetime,
our lives, and we just made it really a bond. But both of us were different then to where we are now.
Oh my God! So where my mind went when you first asked me what has been my favorite change that has happened?
Yeah, tell me your favorite change that's just happened.
The first one that popped into my head when you said that, it wasn't even the last year, was transitioning out of that cowboy gross phase that like my ex-wife had somehow gotten me into like now.
That's so
getting
cool
out of that. That was my favorite change. But it wasn't in the last year.
No, I agree. I think the favorite change that I have for myself is I'm not as aggressive as I was brought up. And it's not to say that my parents were really aggressive, but they grew up during a certain time. I grew up during a certain time.
And this is the thing with that, though. I don't think that's the last year. I think that's been
a
progression over the last decade, at least.
Well, and a lot of it has to do with cannabis, because cannabis, like, you know, my wife kind of got on me about it one time. She's like, hey, you know, I've seen you're using a lot. And I had to explain. I'm like, yeah, I am addicted to cannabis, but I'm addicted to certain things. One, she's like, well, you get mad and you go and smoke. If something comes up and it's really hard to deal with, you go and smoke. Well, I deal with a lot of high anxiety, and smoking helps to get me baseline where I don't freak out. I was brought up with a lot of yelling and a lot of physical aggression and
reaction.
Yeah, lots of reaction. And now even if I yell, that gets my kids scared, but I don't do it as often. And I usually can come back going, hey, look, I went too far. I'm going to own responsibility. I'm going to have extreme ownership on this. But that's been the biggest change for me is my aggression. My aggression was not, and maybe I need to get my testosterone checked. Maybe that's why it's so low. But I definitely, you know, and
cannabis is the same way. Like cannabis in mind, because same way, my dad was very reactive. It was yelling and My parents was, it's very military. This is how you do it. This is when things are done. Like, it was just, we had a set of rules and you followed it.
Yeah.
And so when I became a parent, it was very hard to go, like, to get from where I was to where I am now. And thank God for cannabis, because I don't know the type of parent I would be if not.
Well, and let's go back to that. So you had kids at a younger age, is that right?
Yeah, my oldest is 15 now, almost 15, and I was 22.
22 when you had your first kid.
Yeah.
So it was, that's not too bad.
No.
Considering for Utah standards at the time, you were usually married by 18, 19.
Yeah, but I got married at 21.
Yeah.
We'd been dating for like 2.5 years, off and on, and which for Utah is also an anomaly, because usually it's, hey, we met 3 weeks ago, let's get married.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, we met a couple months ago, let's get married. And it's like, you don't even know who this is.
No, but sex feels amazing.
Yeah, but you can't do that, so.
Unless you're married, right? Yeah. As far as perception around here, we grew up in that culture, and you grew up in a predominant Mormon culture, 5 generations.
But very conservative, like,
yeah,
you know.
So would you say that who you are right now, like, it does, is it, it's not a shock to the family anymore, but do you think it's a shock to anybody in the family?
I mean, it definitely was. For sure, but it's been stages. Like, I think the person I am now, it's way easier for them because I left the church first. I got tattoos. I was seen drinking all the time. Like, they knew I drank because I wasn't ashamed of it.
No, it was kind of spiteful. Yeah, you just weren't hiding, and it's just like...
But I wasn't rubbing it in their face. It was like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I'm okay telling them that I had drinks or that I went out and, or that I have whiskey or that I really like this type of, like, I'm not ashamed of that. Why would I care?
No. And I mean, it's just because your family was
incredibly judgmental.
Yeah, super judgmental, and it's hard.
At least I was nervous about that and, you know, terrified when I left the church. Like, I'd be disowned because of all the stuff I had read about, like, this community. And it's sad because there are people who experience that, but surprisingly, the worst thing that happened was my dad was like, you know, we were out boating one time, and it was one of the first times he had seen me with my shirt off since I got my first tattoo. Anytime he had seen me, and he was like, yeah, some people make stupid decisions like this, and some people get stupid things like get a star on their chest. And I was like, okay, so this is where we want to go? And I didn't go down that rabbit hole because most of the time I try and not be an asshole. But
still, yeah.
But it's been interesting to see. But I feel like that progression has made it easier for them to understand cannabis.
Yeah, you kind of set that stage for, because I didn't get the same. I mean, the only thing was shock.
Well, but
for people.
For your family, like, you grew up.
Not my family.
Your parents, like, you kind of were religious, but then you stepped away for a bit, and then you came back more into it now that you've been married, and. You know, you've been
it's a different
religious and almost.
I wasn't religious growing up, even though my parents were pretty into it.
You just
I was
kind of
never.
Grew up in it a little bit.
Yeah, I was a bystander.
Yeah,
I was just there. I was
Maleficent bystander. Yeah,
yeah, that's it. I mean, all I would do is just come in, and I mean, I left at a young age. My whole family did. We would participate because it was part of the community, so we were still kind of accepted, but not accepted. You know, people made an effort to get us to come to church, but it never really worked. And, you know, we all went our own separate paths as far as that's concerned, but I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in a very latchkey family. Both my parents worked. We struggled for many years. We were very poor for a long time up until I was in my teens. And then it wasn't until I was gone in the military, and I joined the military right after high school. Didn't want to stay around here, got out, left, saw the world, got to have a ton of experiences, came back, and I love Utah. I will never leave Utah. I don't feel a need to move away from Utah, even if I left the church. You know, I came into the church later on at 28, and it was a you know, it's been a good experience for me, but because I create the experience, and I think that's why so many people are accepting of me using cannabis, both in the religious community. My family could give two shits.
Even even with that, though, the religious community you're in, the community, or not the community, the organization as a whole actually accept medical use of that plant, of this plant. So you're not a pariah. So it's just different in, there's nothing that you're utilizing in this medication that's frowned upon for the church that you're a member of. It's just more the community that has the stigma that's been perpetuated by history.
Yeah, and the other part is that because I don't make a big deal out of it, I take it as a big responsibility of being not only part of this cannabis podcast, but also being a cannabis consumer in the world. And so
you educate people.
Yeah, I do so from my actions and who I am, but I'm pretty outspoken. I will tell you how I feel. I have no problem articulating how I feel. And that's the thing that when I look at cannabis involved in my life, it's a big thing for me. But to go away from a serious note over there, so Brandon, what are some of the things that consume your time? Let's take, like, you could call them hobbies. I don't really have hobbies. Somebody would think I have hobbies, but I don't know if I practice hobbies like other people do. Like you really like longboarding.
Well, I mean, longboarding is something that I've been doing now, and I thought about this the other day. It's been over 20 years. I've been longboarding for over 20 years, and I grew up here. So I've been longboarding this area for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I'm incredibly comfortable with it. And for me, it's like snowboarding, longboarding, anything like that is...
Would you say you're a nature guy? You enjoy the nature.
I do. And it's the flow. I find flow in motorcycle riding, in longboarding, in snowboarding. I find a flow in the movement. I find a flow in, like, the ride. And so I am...
That's cool.
I am present.
Yeah.
All the other shit disappears. So for me, when I went through divorce, motorcycle riding was therapy, because all of my stress, all of my anxiety, all of my everything, my massive depression, it disappeared. The only thing that existed was the throttle and me going through that corner and trying not to break traction and trying, like, and I would go through these corners as fast as I could, because that made everything disappear. Nothing existed except for that next split second.
I get that a little of adrenaline.
That was it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I could have everything else disappear, but then in those moments, like, random ideas would pop in my head. All of these things, because all of the other bullshit disappeared.
Ugh. So motorcycles are awesome. I mean, you sound like that movement is the best thing that you do. So you invest into those things, like you said, like longboarding, snowboarding. So, I mean, in Utah is such a diverse landscape where you can,
oh, yeah,
you're like in a different world.
20 minutes from the mountains. So I can be any of those things, you know, within 20 minutes.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, for people that are like thinking, like, I wonder what Afghanistan's like. Utah mountain ranges are very, very, very similar to the Afghanistan mountains.
Really?
Even the climate, everything.
Do they have pine trees in that, in certain areas?
Huh. Uh-huh. And so I've asked
that
guys
who... That makes sense, thinking about, like, Afghan Kush and the more indica-based ones. I think those are in colder regions.
Mm-hmm. And it's
interesting.
It's really cool, but that's good to know about, because, you know, a lot of people may not know that. Like,
I did.
What is he into? And I think it's just a development over time. So that's, I would say, your more serious endeavors. What do you do, like, in the downtime? Do you fuck around on your phone?
Oh, bro, we play lots of games.
Yeah, we play games. I don't say we're gamers, but we like to play.
Maybe a couple times a week.
Yeah,
but, like, not big gamers. I used to love playing a lot more. Like, I would play Halo and stuff when I was...
Did you ever venture out and play different types of games?
Never RPGs as much. I was really...
Sam and nerd really for those.
Really into shooters.
Yeah.
Shooters and racing games.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed those racing jam.
Yeah, we play Insurgency Sandstorm on PS5. We'll put our gamer tags down in the...
Oh, yeah. That'd be
in the show notes if you want a friend with us. However, be chill if we play together, because we had one guy and it was just like his whole group of friends and...
Such wankers.
They're dicks.
Yeah.
I didn't like them at all.
Right,
but...
Yeah.
Insurgency Sandstorm, don't know. We love playing that one. Like shooters, like any shooters, we're both playing.
Helldivers, got into
Hell,
that.
Yeah, Helldivers. We got into Helldivers for sure. But what else do you do? You play musical instruments. You grew up musical, right?
I did. You know, growing up in Utah, one of the very popular things for parents to do is get your kids into like dancing, art, music. And I took piano for 10 years. And then I stopped touching it for at least 10 years. And then I started playing a little bit. And right now I have like a 1920s piano that is in very slow stages of restoration.
Yeah, it's pretty cool though. I mean, it's awesome. And I mean, he knows how to tune them, which is really
I learned how to do that. Yeah.
You can do electrical work too.
Oh, my dad was a contractor and his dad was like a general. And so I worked.
You're like a journeyman.
Building homes and shit all since I was 9.
Yeah.
Like,
so you've learned that for a long time.
I've done way too much stuff. But same with you. You've done like weird shit from like being in the military to being a rock mason, working in the mental institute for like mental hospital for a long ass time.
Yeah, 10 years.
So, I mean, you've had quite the wide variety, and that was before you ever even got into like sales and coaching and marketing or anything.
Yeah.
That's like a whole nother lifetime ago.
It feels like it. It's kind of weird. Like anybody I talk to, they go, what the fuck have you not done? And I'm like, you know what? It really doesn't. I look at it where people.
And you were a bouncer at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of different things and it's kind of
so
funny.
So what are your hobbies or not hobbies that you have?
My hobbies, what I used to, like, if I was to say like a hobby, like what you like to do, right? Like when you.
Yeah.
You go longboarding quite a bit, and it's an act that you do with one of your brothers quite often.
Oh yeah,
and that's so cool, right? And I love weightlifting. One thing that I used to be really passionate about, I've been doing martial arts since the age of 7, and I just was naturally gifted that way. I learned jiu-jitsu, half under instruction, half of it self-taught. I'm a big self-educator. So another hobby I have is learning. I am a nerd for learning. I can't even enjoy, fiction books as much anymore. I'm reading Dune right now, because I really want to, I think it's an awesome world.
The first one?
Yeah. I'm reading the first book and, I'm really excited, but what's funny is that it's not my hobby. It's not my passion. My wife loves to read. Like, you've seen her library, and that's just part
of it. You told me, I think it's been packed up. I'm sure I've seen it in the houses.
It could fill.
It's been my focus.
It could fill two of these walls, top to bottom with books.
That's amazing.
Her library.
Yeah.
Mine takes up two areas.
Yeah.
Of books, and it's mostly business books. It's self-awareness books, marketing books, sales books.
My books are a lot of history.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm steeped in history, but.
That's what I love is I've got a lot of. I like history. I like, I have every band book ever on my electrical library, my digital library. And I love, like, interestingly enough, for someone who is not religious, I feel like I've read more religious texts in my life than
I expect. I've read a lot of religious texts in my youth, actually. When I was in the military, I read a lot of that.
You had a lot of time, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we go back, I mean, I grew up here in Utah, and as soon as I could, I left. I went to the Navy, where there's very few Utahns. I met one other dude from Utah in my school. After I graduated boot camp, you go to a specialized school called A School, and I went to my A School, and there was a kid there, and he'd been on restriction for like 3 months. Because he went into the bar on base and pretended to be an officer. So he had all this restriction. So the guy didn't even get to go to the fleet. But while going through that, man, I mean, it was not a lot of people from Utah. Matter of fact, everybody would ask, they're like, hey, you bet you never seen black people before, like this many.
Yeah.
And truly, I had like, there's two black people I knew.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up.
At high school, I remember there being like two black kids.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Now
it was
totally
a lot
different.
Of Hispanics.
Super
a lot
diverse.
Of Indonesians and stuff, but like one or two black kids, and that was it.
Yeah. It was very much, I didn't see that. But
not culturally diverse here when we grew up.
No, but I mean, when they'd asked me, they're like, you know, bet you never seen this many black people. Because in boot camp, it was probably about like 40% black guys. Huh. And I said, of course I do, every Wednesday. And they go, what? And I'm like, yeah, I watch the Cosby Show. And they just laugh and they're just like, okay, you're all right. But being in the military, like I never left the state on my own ever.
Till you were 18?
Yeah. I mean, and when I grew up, my family had no extended family.
Did you ever go to like Wyoming or Nevada or anything?
Nevada, yeah, we passed through if we were going to Mexico, to Tijuana. I had an uncle that lived down there. My dad's originally from Mexico City.
So you went to Mexico though when you were younger?
Yeah, I've been to Mexico a bunch of times. Okay. I don't speak Spanish.
But so when was the first time you left the state then?
I was about six. No. When I was born, I went to Massachusetts. I've only been to Massachusetts twice. Once, I don't remember. And then the next time was when I was 12.
Okay.
And my grandfather died. And he was a piece of shit. But we went out there.
McMurray's a piece of shit?
He was a piece of shit. I mean, I learned about the man later on. He was a complete piece of shit. Died alone, was left in his house for like 3 days. Sisters ransacking his house while he was sitting there fucking dead.
Jeez.
Fucked up, right? And I was just like, whatever. I don't have anything to do with my mom's side of the family. My uncles, I've met them once. I'm cool. I keep in touch with my cousin, one cousin on my mom's side. That's it. And she's awesome.
Do you have a pretty small family?
No. I have a pretty big family on my dad's side. He's from Mexico City, born and raised, came here legally. He worked hard to become a citizen of this country.
Pretty big, like Holt side, or like pretty big, like bigger than that?
Bigger than that. The way that Mexican families are huge. Like when we do, when there's a family reunion, it's insane. There's so many people there.
You're forgetting you're talking to the elder side.
No, the elder side is fine. The Holt side, I don't know.
That's why I'm curious, like how large is large? Because just like my grandma, my aunts and uncles.
Oh,
cousins,
no, no. I'm talking like cousins or anything like that. I had none of that. We had none of that. To see my grandmother and grandfather in Mexico.
So you had like a really small side. Dude, on your dad's side?
Yeah. My dad, no, when we go down there, I only saw my grandmother throughout her life maybe 6-7 times. And
it's wild to me.
And
I grew up within like a mile of both of my grandparents.
Dude, I bought a home and right across the street from
my grandpa. Yeah,
exactly.
My grandpa.
So. Like, I mean, and I bought his home that he originally had in the 1950s. So they bought it. And so it's kind of funny because like we didn't have that. So I wasn't used to extended family like you are.
Everyone in mine is close. Yeah. Like I've got.
I remember that's how we met.
Somewhere out there, but like outside of the Utah. Some of them are dispersed throughout the U.S., but majority of all of them are here in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are in Utah County. And so it's like my dad's side, the elder side, when it's just under the umbrella of like my grandma, grandpa down, we're like 160.
That's crazy. That's crazy because I didn't have that. And so for me, as much as a outgoing... I mean, you've been with me to networking events. Like,
oh, yeah.
Everybody knows.
But your social is... Like, you're a little social butterfly.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll go anywhere. But the thing is, like, I have no extended family. So extended family, when I married into it, it was a lot for me. It's like, oh, we got to go here. We got to go there. And I'm like, what the fuck? Because I didn't have to do any of that shit growing up.
Well, and I feel like 20 years ago, there was way more stuff that Holt side did. So, you know, it would have been way more stuff like, hey, we got to go here. We got to be here. And yeah.
But it's unique, and I don't think that's really unique to Utah, but I do notice that Utah families are bigger. Like, I have a big family. I have 5 kids.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I come from a family of 5.
Yeah.
You come from a family of 3?
4.
4.
Yeah, 4 kids.
I always forget about your other brother or other sister.
Yeah, Ahmad is, we engage, we associate with each other. That would be the best way to say it.
Okay.
We associate. Your family's a little bit more tighter. My side, not so much. You know, my brother served in the military, and I pushed him to go. And I mean, there's regret, but there's also a lot of like, he's glad he went. But he's awesome. He's a piece of shit. Fuck you, fuckface. I hope you're listening to this. That's how we treat each other. That's the family I grew up. I grew up in a very poking fun at you family. I have very thick skin.
Yeah.
And the only time I get mad is when you get mad. And then I'm like, oh, you want to fucking go? Like, let's do this. Like, but that's also my family.
My dad picked on me all the time. It's the weirdest. Like, we go over to my parents' house or something, my dad's house, and my dad will, like, make a comment or say something, and my girlfriend's like, what the hell? Well, it's like, it's just how he is. It's how I grew up. Like, but we give each other shit. And
I mean, dude, I think about all the things that you could say right now that I'm not going to say on this podcast, but
I'm like being some of the comments.
Yeah. Because I think about it. See, like my dad just would, like, you know, if we hit our heads when we were kids, he'd go, oh, who told you you had a big head? Like, I'm crying.
Yeah.
You know, and all those things, like, he would just tease us, but that's how our family was. We would just tease each other. And maybe in some way that was a really good thing my parents were preparing us for, going, hey, you know what? The world's going to be a little hard on you and they're going to say things to hurt your feelings. So don't take it so personal, right?
Well, yeah, I got picked on all the time. I am a really small person and I was really short too. So then that combined with being a little fucking weirdo, like, yeah. Oh yeah, it was perfect combination for getting picked on.
And talking about...
I had like this really smart ass mouth and that's basically what came from it. It was like, all right, well, I can beat you up, but you're going to make me feel bad, so I'm going to make you feel like shit. So
then they're going to beat you up. Yeah, no, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up, I was the oldest out of four, and that's why I was put in martial arts, to defend myself and defend my family. And then I became the family pit bull growing up. If anybody got hurt or somebody picked on one of my siblings, it wasn't like, you know how it is today. It's very litigious. Yeah. It's just like, oh, I'm going to sue you if you did this to my child. It's more of like you told your kid going, well, don't put it up next time they say that to you. You fucking punch him. At least that's the way I grew up. You didn't grow up that way.
No.
You grew up in a very non-confrontational family. My family, very confrontational.
Yeah, it was just more of a, well, actually, I take that back. So I would fight with my brother and my mom would just go, if you're going to fight, go outside. Because my dad was always growing up. So growing up in my dad's house, they would fight all the time. There was 8 kids and 6 of them were boys. And so the rule was, if you're going to fight, go outside. I don't want blood on the carpet. So in my parents' house, if we were fighting and, you know, they were allowing us to fight, it was go outside.
Yeah, we didn't fight very much. You know, if we got physical, like the only time I remember getting physical with my brother growing up was when I was out of the Navy. Like never when we were young. I mean, he's a lot younger than me. Well, he's not a lot younger than me. My brother is 40.
Okay.
So he's about 5 years younger than me, but he still grew up around the same era. But we didn't hit each other. But what we were taught is to defend each other, which is kind of odd that we're not as close.
I only hit my brothers sometimes. My young Alec, we shared a room, and it would be at bedtime because I'd be tired and I'd want to go to sleep, and Alec would want to stay up and chat, and he'd keep talking. And you keep talking and keep talking. And I'm like, bro, if you don't shut up, I'm going to punch you. And I'd count to 3 and then I'd get up and punch him. And then he'd go, Mom, and I'd get in trouble for punching him. But that was the only time that I really would punch my siblings, except for when Curtis punched me in the face once and I spun him around and I punched him in the square of his back about 6-7 times as hard as I could. And I told him, don't ever punch anyone in the face again, because I had braces and it stuck to my lip. Mm. So I was really pissed. And I was stronger than him. So I would always put him in his place because he was always angry and would pick on all my other siblings and would get mad and threaten my youngest brother or Alec or someone. So then I'd have to step in between. And so it was just like, when he punched me in the face, he pissed me off, and I spun him around. And aside from that, like, I would never hit my siblings.
Yeah.
But...
No, we fought, but it was always verbal. We never hit each other.
It'd be more, I feel like, wrestling and stuff, kind of like...
Not even that.
But
I had sisters. I had younger... My sister right below me, she, you know, she could get violent.
Yeah.
Like, all of us were taught to defend ourselves. But I was given all of that kind of responsibility. So I became a martial artist from when I was young. And I was a natural, I could naturally adapt to it. I loved learning it. And I did so throughout all of growing up and through my adolescence into my 20s. I tore my ACL in my late 20s or early 30s. It was my late 20s. I tore my ACL and that was it. That was it. No, it was in my 30s. I was 31. I tore my ACL and then I couldn't do, I was trying to.
That still affected it today though.
Yeah. I mean, I was, the only way I knew about it was I was doing a judo throw.
Now it's hot new.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah. The
I was doing a judo throw and my knee gave out. And so I was like, fuck. So then I went to a sports medicine doctor and they did an MRI and they're like, yeah, it's gone. Like you could see it in the MRI, just destroyed, just frayed at both ends of a rope.
Gee.
And so like you cut it, you know how it just blooms?
Yeah.
What it looks like between. And so I mean, it's an extremely expensive surgery. So I've never got that fixed. So martial arts used to be a huge part of my life. It's not as much anymore.
Yeah.
I still.
Oh, it's like sports. I used to still sports.
Yeah.
Not like you.
No, but I mean, not on this side. Like
dedication.
But also I tested it all the time. So I've been in lots of street fights.
Yeah.
And I was a bouncer and being able to utilize it there. And I worked at the state hospital here in Utah, and I had to protect myself a lot. I had been in dozens upon dozens of physical encounters, violent encounters, and not including the ones that I'd find myself. And that was on a daily occurrence. And I worked to be able to help lower down assaults. And that's kind of like where I got the first starts of mentoring, coaching, being able to work with people with my voice instead of just getting physical with them, because I love the physical stuff. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I love getting them trying to hurt me. And I didn't mind the pain. I enjoyed the pain. I still enjoy the pain to a point. And
that's why his wife has these little choky collars for him and stuff.
Armageddon. That's my safe word.
Armageddon.
Four horsemen.
Armageddon.
I'm a pretty open guy. Have a lot of violent tendencies that are still baked into me. I'm a nice guy now, but I haven't forgot my violence. I collect knives. I love knives. I always got a knife on me.
That's true.
And,
I can't tell you how many knife demonstrations I've had in my front room with a new knife.
Yeah. Like I can cut here. Let me show you this. But yeah, I like that kind of stuff. But other than that, I like playing video games. I like reading business books, marketing books, behavioral psychology books, consumer psychology. Like I'm really into that stuff. But beyond that, like what's something else that you enjoy?
Oh, archery. We haven't done that in a long time.
I just love doing that.
We
got like a 70-year-old bow.
Yeah. Nice recurve bow.
Still works.
I have like a 30-pound Turkish horse bow, which is fun, but it's like a really unique style to learn.
It's very cool.
I don't know. I've enjoyed that, but that's been a long time. I love reading, learning. I'm not a big fiction fan. I read every once in a while. Like I read the first three Dune books this year, which was not for me, but I loved them. And then I've been mostly just, I'm big into, lately, I feel like reading law, studying law, all sorts of random stuff with that. History, I love history.
Yeah.
Religious history, just world history, archaeological stuff is always cool. I like watching videos on that. I don't know if I've really read much on stuff like that.
No, I consume like that, either through podcasts or through videos. I'll watch those and get really into them, like, that's why I used to love Joe Rogan's podcast back in the day because he would have some really interesting guests.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because of how it is now. It just, he had the interesting guests. Like I love listening to Graham Hancock. I would have never found him without Joe Rogan or.
It's true. I mean, there's a million people that have
come to
Joe Rogan. That
they're just like, oh, wow, I've never heard about that. I want to get more into it. And so it's...
Even the Bright Insight guy who went...
Yeah.
Like, well, I loved his before.
I with Jimmy, for a long time.
Then it was like, oh, shit, he's on Joe.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah, I, I'm the same way, man. Like on that, I love learning about different societies, cultures. I really understand cultures.
Traveling and visiting cultures. I know you kind of got burnt out on travel in military.
Yeah.
I haven't done that much. I've done like maybe 10 countries. And so
I don't know how many I've been to. No, honestly, I mean, probably not that much, but I got to spend a good enough time there.
Yeah.
But it was the travel, like for those who've been in the Navy.
Oh, that's a different kind of travel, I'm sure.
You know, they're just like, you know, somebody goes, you want to go on a cruise? I'm like, why would I want to go on a cruise? Like that.
You don't have to work on this.
I know, but at the same time, like it was weird, you know? I mean, being out at the ocean for months at a time, especially when I was out there, like we had restrictions because it wasn't even wartime.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy, man. Like you're just out there forever, just
for me,
blue.
I find the ocean really calming. If I was on it for like months and months and months and like
working.
Years, it might suck. But you get to the point that it's either like so accustomed or you don't admire it the same. I've lived here my whole life. I never had the same appreciation for the mountains.
I
think until I went to like the Midwest or Texas. And then I came back and it was like, oh my God, I just feel like I'm surrounded by mountains versus like I can see the end of forever. And I fucking hate this.
Well, I mean, and some people enjoy it, but you know, it's the same thing. Like when people from Hawaii come here and they're like, oh man, this is amazing. And all you're thinking is you're from Hawaii. What are you talking about? But because
everywhere's beautiful in its own way.
Well, but it's different to visit than it is to live.
Yeah, always.
You know, it's like where we grew up here. There's a university in Hawaii, BYU Hawaii, Brigham Young University, Hawaii. And lots of people wanted to go there. And I had a friend, she went there and she said it sucked. She said it was so expensive to live there. She thought she'd saved enough money that she was literally sleeping on a blow up mattress while she was going there, barely eating any food. And she's like, it was horrible. And I left after my first semester. Like it just wasn't, but she was a kid. Yeah. And I thought it was awesome she went at that time.
Had that experience.
And that's why I think it was so great for me to be able to go to the military when I did, because I was 18 when I signed up.
Yeah.
And I left for the military and it was the best for me. Like I got to be more, I was never independent growing up.
Yeah.
My parents were there for everything. I didn't pay for anything. I had a job that paid for gas in the car that they bought for me. So,
I didn't have to get a job. I worked with my dad every summer and then I worked with him on weekends and that since I was 9, but I didn't have to have a job until I was 16 and I totaled the car that my parents bought for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to pay for insurance. I didn't have to pay for anything before that. And then I totaled it and they're like, cool, well, now you need to get a job because you have to pay for ticket, towing, insurance, like the deductible and that. And I was like, shit, I don't have that much money. So I had to go get a job in order to do that.
Yeah, I always had a job. I remember when I was 16, my dad got me a brand new shiny job application for Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, you're going to go get a job and you're going to work and you're going to earn your own money. And I hated that job. But I was glad that he did that when he did it. Would I be the same way today? No, I want my kids to be kids as long as possible. Like, I don't want them to feel like they've got to grow up so fast because today's world makes them feel like
that. I was kind of glad that I got a job at 16 because when I did, it actually opened the door for me to do a lot more things that I actually wanted to do or liked doing. I got way more into paintballing. I used to paintball with my brother every single week. We would go all the time and it was amazing. But it was because I just had disposable income that I could justify doing that. And I didn't have to worry because my parents, you know my mom,
yep.
She's frugal as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up thinking we were poor because all we ate was homemade everything. We didn't have nice stuff. We weren't never were given or the things in our home weren't the nicest things.
Yeah, Christmas was minimal.
And things were, yeah, everything was super minimal. There was no vacations. Vacations was like camping or driving to Southern Utah. Until I was 14. 14 years old was the first time that I ever went to Disneyland. That was the first time I left the state. No, I take that back. Grandma and Grandpa Holt took me out of the state for a trip with Steph and Aubrey and all of that when I was 9. Aside from that, I never left the state.
Yeah.
But that's because my mom was so frugal. So I never knew, but it's because she paid off the house in 10 years. She was really fucking frugal and good with money. And so at the end of that, like, we started taking trips. By the time I was 14, it went from, hey, I went to Disneyland for my first time to, now I'd gone to Mexico. I've gone to like probably 40 out of the 50 states almost. I've been to 10 different countries. Like, I've gone and traveled now, and all of that has been from my parents.
Yeah.
I haven't paid for shit for that.
Well, and I mean, I grew up poor. I grew up poor for the majority of my youth up until, again, it was around when my grandfather died. My grandfather left my mother everything. So that changed our lives where they built a home. They had a home.
Yeah.
But it was an older home in a rough part of Orem, Utah, the city you live in. And it was a rough part of this area. Even today, it's still a rough part. And I didn't know any different, but I loved my childhood. I had an active imagination, and I was always playing. I didn't get along with kids in the church at all. I didn't like bullies. That was one of the great things about being in martial arts and not being afraid of, because I was taught in an area where, you know, you didn't have a lot of padding. It was just like, you just kicked the shit out of each other, and the better you got, you didn't get hurt as much. And now it's like, you look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man if you want to touch each other. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, but anyway, and my buddy were boxing when I was little. And how we boxed was, his brother had one set of gloves, so I got one glove, and he got one glove.
Yeah.
That meant one fist had a glove and the other didn't. That was it.
Yeah, it's, and I grew up with that. And being poor, and I never really thought about that. Not until I was older, where, you know, not only was I from a Hispanic family, and it was getting a little bit more accepted at the time, but it was still predominantly white at the time.
I loved my Hispanic friends growing up.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't speak Spanish.
You looked
white. Yeah, I'm white. I look white. But, you know, my dad looks more European than anything else.
Even though both of my grandparents are racist in some avenue, like some aspect.
Yeah, but they grew up during this farm time.
I feel like they didn't push it down. Like, it was never, there was never a hatred. Grandma and Grandpa Holt went to Mexico and taught English when my mom was little. And then they went to China several times and taught English, and Ukraine. Like, they were always out helping and spending time with other cultures. And my dad's side, like, they were, yeah, they had comments or things, but there was never hatred. There was never a thing of like us and them. So growing up, it was just other people.
Yeah, you know? I experienced racism all throughout my youth.
Which is terrible but I'm white. I haven't had that thing growing up here in
Utah. No, but I mean, that's the thing though. It was just, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand growing up here in Utah
racism
was. But
when you explain it and you're like, I'm a kid and I'm getting picked on by all these, you know, other
people.
Yeah, I'm
called spick or wetback.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about all these little kids, and I'm like, if that was my kid, I'd be so fucking pissed.
Yeah, I mean, that was the great thing. Like, you know, one of the things of growing up, like, this is a funny, funny story. So, there was these guys I hung out with that were, I mean, they're as redneck as they get. I mean, these guys had longer, I grew up during the time of 80s and 90s metal.
Okay.
So, and I grew up in Utah, so if you had metal dudes, these are like mullet dudes who had like jean jackets on where they'd fucking like do the logos for the bands. And
that's funny.
And they thought it was hardcore, like Metallica, like listen to heavy shit. Now I listen to like real heavy shit. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, throughout all of that, like I was growing up in that time, these guys were not the best guys to be hanging out with. And I broke ties with them. One day, my brother comes home, and he has got lashes all over him, like red marks. And two of my former friends had been chasing him. Now, my brother is he's like first, second grade at this time, third grade. And these are kids who are eighth grade. Real fucked up. And so he comes home, and he ran home. And I was like, what happened? And he's like, your friends were whipping me with these ropes. And I was like, where are they? And he goes, they chased me back. They're outside. They asked you to come outside. And when my grandfather died, we got to go to his house. He left everything to my mom. And my mom was really nice. She gave some of the things to her brothers, even though they were written out of the will. But one of the things that was there was this 10-foot long, black and white checkered rawhide bullwhip. And I used to thought I used to think that Indiana Jones was super cool. And we had this telephone pole in the backyard, and I whip it and practice on grabbing.
Yeah.
So there was a certain way you could turn your wrist, and it would grab onto it, and then you'd flip it and release. And so I got really good at that. And then I could also whip it so I could smack paper, because I could train it as a weapon. It was really long. And I went to my room, and I grabbed that bullhide whip, and I put it behind my back. Came outside, and I'm like, what's up? And they're like, oh, yeah, what's up, little spick? And I'm like, cool. Whoop. And I just kind of whipped it out. And the first guy, his name was Ryan, he took off running. And I went, whoop, and it wrapped around his head. And yanked him down, and he hit the ground. Then I released it and then just started whack. This other guy named Matt, just whack, whack. Now, this is checkered, and it's woven.
Oh, yeah.
So after I whipped the shit out of these kids out in front of our house, hour later, both of the mothers with their kids show up to our house. And they're yelling at my parents, going, look what your son did to mine. And I came out behind my dad on our back porch, straight up looked like it's out of like Watts in California, like so ghetto as fuck. Like I grew up in this ghetto and I didn't know it, not until much later. And they're like, you did this to my son. I'm like, and I pulled my little brother out. And he's got whip marks all over him. And I'm like, look what they did to my brother.
Yeah.
And one of the mothers turned around and just started beating the shit out of her kid right there on the driveway.
I'd be so fucking pissed if that was my kid who did that to some other kid.
I hurt him because they hurt my brother. But dude, they had welts on the, like that kid I wrapped around his head.
There was
this like grill mark coming off of his forehead, and it was hilarious, dude. His whole body was fucking whipped. He deserved that. Yeah.
Like that's the kind of stuff that makes... It's so frustrating to see, and it's like, what did that child do to you to deserve that? It's like, well, he existed. He's different than me. And it's like, well, you can...
But we didn't look dark Hispanic. Like my sister and I look more Hispanic than my other siblings.
And you don't even look Hispanic.
No. I mean, if I
but
get
even
real
if you
dark,
did, like, who the hell cares?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I would get more of... when I get really dark when I was younger, like either Hawaiian or whatever, it was funny. I even got in trouble with that one when we went surfing in Hawaii when I was in the military. And dude, this white kid in our ship, he went with us and he's just paddling out. And this is in Laiea. And I didn't know that they had the Laiea boys. These are a gang out there. And they were like, not cool. This big Tongan dude walks up to me, goes, hey, bro, where are you from? I said, where do you think I'm from? You from New Zealand? Yeah, bruh. Okay, you can surf here, but your Howley friends, they got to get out of water. And they went out there and chased these guys out. We're like, let's just go somewhere else. But yeah, that's I didn't look that, but because of my last name, I was immediate. I mean, they knew. And mm-hmm. I didn't care, you know, because there was a couple other kids, like a lot of Martinez and stuff like that.
I just got teased because my last name's Elder, and growing in Utah, it's like, oh, Elder. And that got to me all the time.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts.
Well, at least people could pronounce your name. I got Angelos, Angeles, Anal-E's, one of my friends.
Anal-E's.
Yeah. I even got
it's
that.
The friends.
Well, dude, it followed me all the way into the military. Like, you know, what's funny is that people get this whole thing. If I put Loss in front of my last name, they would pronounce it every single time. But because it's not, the brain just like short circuit. And when I got to the Navy, I reported to my ship. And you have duty for every week. There's a duty section that will be there every day. And you will be on that duty section. Maybe 1 week, maybe 2 weeks out of the month. Who knows? But they just pick their roster and you go. And they were calling over this PA system. They're going, Fireman Angeles, report to the quarterdeck. And I'm like, and this guy goes, dude, that's your name. You're Angeles and Angeles. And I'm like, no, I'm Angeles. That's Angeles. I don't know who the fuck that guy is, but
right. He's
got to go to duty section muster. And I get to the brow of the ship and I bring up my card saying permission to go ashore. And they're like, permission granted. And I walk down the brow. And then the next week I was on duty section. And they call me again. They're like, Fireman Angeles, report to the quarterdeck. And one of the guys like, dude, you're going to get in trouble if you're not reporting to duty section. I'm like, well, I don't know who Angeles is. I am Fireman Angeles. Such a stubborn shit. And then there was this non-commissioned officer, a senior chief, waiting at the brow, and he caught me. And he's like, he goes, "Stand fast, sailor. What's your name?" I said, "Fireman Angeles, senior." And he goes, "You've had duty section that you've been purposely missing." And I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he goes, "We have been calling your name they call it the 1MC, that we've been calling you from that for weeks now. How come you haven't been showing up?" And I'm like, "I still have no recollection of this, because my name is Fireman Angeles." And he goes, "Are you saying that you haven't reported to duty because we couldn't pronounce your last name? It's not my fault. The Navy's full of illiterates."
How many people are on that ship?
On my ship at the time, we were a smart ship during Clinton's time. So we had 300 plus
and
people.
And you were supposed to know everyone on that ship?
Oh, dude, when it was fully manned, it's 800.
At the beginning? You were supposed to know if there was another Fireman Angeles?
Right. Well, no, Angeles. But like, that's what I told her. I said, "It's not my fault. The Navy's full of illiterates." And so yeah. I got duty section that day.
Scrubbing it.
And I had to mop the deck. I had to clean a bunch of passageways and shit like that. He was pissed at me, and rightfully so. But, you know, it was even stupid stuff like that. Most people don't know that I'm Hispanic. They don't even think I'm from Utah most of the time. And the funniest comment I've ever got is going, "I thought you'd be taller. I'm 5'8".
Yeah.
I'm a short, stocky guy.
You know what's interesting? And you can't tell right now, but in the summer when I was younger, in like 16, I went to Mexico and people thought I was Hispanic.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't get that.
I don't either. But it's because in the summer when I was out all the time, I was actually fucking dark.
Well, I have cousins down there that are redheaded and white.
We're very different looking still. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
it was just funny.
I don't get, I mean, when the times, it's been a long time since I've been to Mexico. A long time. My wife has been there before I have.
Really? Yeah. Oh, she went on that trip, huh?
Yeah, that I won.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Oh.
It's been 20 years probably since I've been to Mexico.
Yeah, I've been out of the States in a really long time. I don't enjoy travel. The reason why is just associated with growing up. It was hard to do, and it was expensive for my family, and you know, we didn't have much. So I've just used to that. I'm just used to that. I don't like going places. My idea of like chilling out and having a good time at home and doing absolutely nothing is a vacation to me. It means I'm not doing anything. I don't want to go see shit. I don't want to go do shit. I just want to go chill. We used to get a beach house every other year in Oceanside, California.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that town. And we'd go there for a week, and that's it. That's the only thing I could stand. But most of the time, the only reason why I can stand, because I go get two carts and I puff on that from morning until night. I am high the entire time. I'll go through those two carts in those 5 days. Like, cause I'm just high the entire time. I'm a pretty boring vanilla guy. Like you listen to the stories I have and you're like, what the,
yeah,
when I was younger, dude, when I was younger, I did almost everything.
Well, I feel like when we're younger, we're a lot more wild. Like,
oh, totally. When you have kids, it really changes you.
Oh yeah. Like a ton. And it's very different once you have kids.
Yeah. But that's the thing though. I took my time. I mean, I really
didn't have kids till you were
much later. My first son was born when I was 28.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, I didn't think quite 30.
That would be a pretty early stage now for many couples today. They're choosing to have kids in their 30s. You know, some are in the 20s, but it's going up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm going to be an old fuck by the time my youngest leaves.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true. That's what I'm like. Because shit. He's 8 now?
Yeah, he's 8.
Yeah. So you got another 10 years before he's 18.
Yeah. I mean, and that doesn't mean he's going to be leaving.
No, that's just once he's 18.
Yeah. But yeah. That's like my youngest. You know, my oldest right now is 17. And he'll be turning 18 in February next year. He just turned 17. It's crazy to me.
It's so weird to think about.
Yeah, and but I left on my own, of course, because I needed to. I wanted to.
Same. I moved out the day I turned 18. I actually had a contract signed with an apartment right before that, and I came home and told my parents, and I was like, "Oh, I'm moving out next week," and they're like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah, because you wanted that.
I needed freedom,
independence.
My
and freedom.
Parents were so controlling, and everything was like,
"Yeah,
this way," and I'm like, "I have to do my own thing."
Yeah,
and so I got out.
It was fun though, man. I loved living, You know, when I lived on the base, I didn't live on the base. We had a house out in town, right outside the gate. It was the East Gate, and it was awesome. It was cool, like living over there with a bunch of dudes and
piles very different,
of dishes,
right?
And there some of the shit's rotting.
Oh,
and
dude,
I remember food.
That. I hated my first apartment because roommates were just like. Yeah. So fucking shitty.
I loved it because it was just crazy. Like, you had to get used to so many different personalities, but we were all like just slobs. Like, we would once in a while, like on a Saturday, be like, all right, we're going to, you know what? This place is fucking disaster. We need to clean this together.
See, I was cleaner because my mom, it was always clean.
Oh.
Everything was just
messy Jesse.
So that's how I.
Messy Jesse. That's what my parents called me all growing up. And I'm still messy to this day. Like, I mean, I don't eat and get food all over me. But I'm not an organized guy. I'm horrible with organization. Horrible. I'm great at follow-up, but I'm horrible at organizing. You don't want me to get something together that means something that's, I don't know, very important. But if it's for fun, oh, I can organize that in a second. But I'm not an organized person.
Yeah.
You look at my nightstand, it's a fucking disaster. Yours is very... It's nice. That's how Steph is.
But it's because my mom was very much like... Everything was particular. And so after that, like, if I didn't clean it, it would just get messy. And then I get stressed. And then I feel anxious. And I'm like, now, if I wake up in the morning and things aren't picked up, I can't just sit down and enjoy my coffee. I sit down and then my mind's going, you should be doing this. You should be doing this. Yeah. You should be doing this. And I'm just sitting there like, I wish I could enjoy my coffee. But now I have to do all these things. Instead of if I just pick it up the day before, then I don't have to worry about it and I can enjoy my morning. I can get into my thing. Because even when I sit down at my desk to start work, if I sit down at my desk and it's cluttered, I can't work. I have to organize my desk before I can work because my mind will be too stressed about all the shit on my desk.
See me, dude, I don't even care. I don't care. The one thing I can't stand is everything organized in its own way. Because to me, it's a distraction. So, and it's weird. It's totally opposite for most people, but it's a distraction for me. I don't know, man. It would drive you nuts being around me.
We're just different people. That's all.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, with the way you just described, why I laughed, I'm like, Steph's the same way. My wife is the same way. She's very clean. And I have become much better at it, but still, dude, if you went into our room, like you see side of her bed, like everything is where it needs to be. There's nothing on the ground. That's, you get on my side, there's clothes and shit down here, bunch of cords to charging something, and fucking tons of stuff on my nightstand. It's just like this chaos. Man. Like, I clean the top of my desk. So yeah, I'm a creative, constant creative, but it's just I'm a messy dude. I'm just a messy guy.
That's okay. You know, everyone's got their thing and their style, and not everyone's the same.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, why.
I think that's what makes everyone so unique and like beautiful in their own ways. Like,
yeah.
If we were all the same, life would be super boring.
Yeah, it would be boring.
Conversations would be boring. It would be so dumb to go have another conversation with a person because it would just be like talking to a mirror and you're like, all right, cool. I already know what happened next. I'm going to go like watch Joe or jerk off or like anything.
Wow.
Anything else?
There, right.
Like, I don't know.
Right away. Like, what's Brandon doing right now?
Well, it is 4 o'clock and it is a Wednesday, so.
He's probably roughing up the suspect. Okay, so going past that one, we'll kind of round this off. We wanted to go into deeper about us and kind of our thoughts and ideas, but I want to ask you, Brandon, music. What's your favorite music you're listening to right now?
Bro, I can't do that. You know me, I have such a wide range.
Yeah, so kind
of
give
music.
Us a wide range of music that you listen to.
Oh, God. I mean, this morning I put on Bob Marley on vinyl. Yesterday was Glass Animals. The day before I put on System of a Down. It really, really depends. I love 21 Pilots lately.
And Taylor Swift.
I fucking hate Taylor Swift, actually. No offense to you guys if that's
your
jam.
Yeah, dude, that's cool. But
my girlfriend has every single one of her albums on vinyl because she loves it. But I don't like her music. It's
I'm just not
my
jam. A fan of it, yeah.
So Love like Frank Sinatra. I love classical music. I love EDM. I love.
So do you? You just change off anytime?
Depends on my mood. I have such a wide range of music that it just depends on the moment. And sometimes if I'm like snowboarding, I want a certain type of flow state thing. Like it really, really depends on where I'm at. Sometimes I want like more rock style. I love the older rock, like 70s, 80s rock. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I was just on the way over.
So I do a lot of that. It just depends. I used to think I was black for the longest time growing up, and I listened to just almost strictly rap. So
go through phases.
Yeah, I really do. And
so what's on your playlist right now in Spotify?
Oh God, which playlist?
You know what? Let's do this. Brandon's going to drop his playlist into the comments down. I'm also going to drop my playlist in there.
Oh, which one?
My flow. My
Oh, that is you're getting into flow
state. Yeah, because I listen to a lot of synthwave.
Okay.
Not big into techno or house or anything like that, but I really like synthwave. And then I am huge into thrash metal, death metal. I do like the old metals. I consider them emo metal, like Disturbed, Metallica, those ones, Pantera.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, emo metal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
not
more
emo music.
No, emo metal. I call it emo metal, where it's like, it's more like they've got ballads and shit like that. And that's cool. But I like a lot of thrash. Like my favorite band literally of all time is Lamb of God. Randy Blythe is an awesome singer and I just love their music. I wish I could sing like them, and it's so like guttural sounding, but it's a motivator. And Hatebreed, nicer ones like Killswitch Engage, the older one. I don't like their new lead singer as much.
They switched out the lead singer.
Yeah. Howard Jones left a while ago, but he was cool. And it was awesome, 'cause he's like one of the few black metal singers. And then he left, and new guy
does
came
he sing,
in.
Still sing metal, or does
he's in its own way, but I like Howard Jones. He's cool. Like him and like Seven Dust when I was growing up. I listened to Sublime is like one of my favorite bands of all time too, but I listened to Billy Joel. I listened to like, I can even enjoy the Carpenters, not for long.
I do have a couple albums of Carpenters on vinyl.
I listen to Beatles. My dad is a fanatical Beatle maniac still to this day. He's 70 years old, and he has got every album. He's got
Does he have them
every
on vinyl?
Vinyl.
Oh, that's cool.
He's got random vinyls that are extremely rare. I found it in a record shop like 24 years ago. It was awesome. He loves that. My dad is still, he's still very old school, and it's cool. And I grew up with that music, so I enjoyed that music.
I listen to, oddly enough, I have a lot of like my parents' music taste thrown into it. It's not my favorite, but like were very poppy.
LDS hymns.
No, God, no, not that aspect. The Michael Jackson, more like the poppy 80s and 90s was what they were
into.
That
was my mom.
So I have some of that stuff in there as well, but I even like Bread. I like America.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of the older genres.
Big fan of the Doors, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. Oh, I love Led Zeppelin,
love
AC/DC,
Pink Floyd.
Like I have tons of those on vinyl. That's one thing I do love. I love collecting vinyl. I just wish it hadn't jumped up so much in price recently, because every time I go to look at a new vinyl, I'm like, it's like $50.
Shit.
I don't want to spend that.
Yeah, I don't want to spend
that. There's some that are cheaper, but like all the ones that I really want, I'm like, that's like $80. That's $100.
Yeah, you just kind of have to bite the bullet. Because it's like my dad. My dad will look for those too. Yeah, I used to be a big fan of collecting, but I don't collect that anymore. It's all digital for me right now. It's not as good.
Yeah. Vinyl's the only thing I collect. Aside from that, like I Spotify all the time.
Yeah, I don't listen to a lot of, I won't listen to new music. I just don't find an affinity to it, but I do find new metal that I really like. I love going to the gym. I love lifting. You know, I'm not putting an emphasis on trying to be like giant like I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy it. I enjoy the strength of it. It's the competing against myself. I can't do martial arts the way I used to. So that's another way where I get abused the shit out of my body. When I'm in my 60s, I'm going to be like a bent over, solid, like fucking arthritic guy. But, you know, for right now, it's my life. I'm living it that way. But that's about it. But the music side, like, Yeah, I'm pretty easy to hit. Like, yeah. You can tell me a metal band, and I'll be like, if it's too screamo, I'll be like, that's too much for me.
For me, I'm not really into the screaming side of it. When it gets, I can do a little bit of screaming, but then when it's a lot, I'm like, all right.
We should do that, but let's put in a couple of that, because here's the funny thing. I can't stand Bob Marley.
Really?
I hate Bob Marley.
Okay. He's not my favorite. I don't listen to him all the time.
I'm not a big fan of
reggae. I would say maybe like once a year I listen to him. But this morning I was like, what do I put on this morning? I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to throw on some Bob Marley. Why not? But it might have been over a year since the last time I spun that one.
And I don't know if this happens to you, but maybe it happens with you guys too. I associate music with people, and it's a one way to be able to categorize them for me. Oh. And I've been doing it since I was young. My two of my ex-girlfriends, one of them I was engaged to when I was in the military, she loved everything reggae. And it bugged me because she used to give me shit for listening to Tool because she said that's like way too hard. Tool is way too hard. Tool is not way too
hard. Tool's incredible. They have beautiful music.
Yeah. They're not, I wouldn't consider them metal. They're just completely on their own. For me, Tool's awesome.
Okay.
But they're on their own. They're just, they are metal, but they're not. They're not Korn, but they're definitely not Hatebreed or Lamb of God or Shadows Fall. Like, those are some of my favorite bands. But no, man, I enjoy like everything. I really do. I enjoy everything like you, but I'll get in my modes of like, I only listen to this. But synthwave is all the time. So what I was thinking of, we should do is put down in the show notes, not only our playlist, but then a couple of different albums that we're like, yeah, we listen to this. So you can kind of like get into, you know, what do we like? And
yeah, I'll throw some of my favorite albums. We'll throw some of Jesse's favorite albums.
Yeah,
it'll be
cool. Cause it, you know, you can kind of get a feel of what we are. Maybe you resonate with us a little bit more than you think you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other
than
that,
you guys can share your favorite tunes below.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We'll have the Q&A, drop your favorite album. If you guys have like a Spotify album you're listening to or something, throw it in there, share it with us. We'd love to check it out.
If you have a band, drop it in there.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd love to about check that. Out your music.
Like when Kyle was creating on his music.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from him in a minute, but I've loved his music. He's had some really sick beats.
Yeah, so I think it's cool. Like we love Kyle. I'm going to give a shout out to another one, Wesley Carter. He was giving a shit about Gran Turismo 7. He's like, it's not as good as Wreckfest. And I'm like,
I've never played Wreckfest, but it sounds arcadey.
It's a demolition derby.
Okay.
But it's supposed to have better physics and handling than Gran Turismo.
Interesting.
That's a tall order.
But it's probably all dirt based. So if you're going off that, I'm wondering if it's the handling on a rally of Gran Turismo comparison, or if it's just handling on the road.
Yeah, that one's
like,
squirrely.
There's way different things. So
you can tell, like, I mean, we love that, right? But let's put it in there. Also, share with your favorite video games. What are you guys playing right now? If you guys are into video games, cool. I'm 45. I still play video games, but I think that's kind of average. I grew up during that era.
Picked out Fallout 4 the other day. Started playing that one again.
Yeah, I beat Final Fantasy 7.
Cool.
I like RPGs. I did the remake, and then I'm playing 16.
I think Witcher and Zelda were like the only ones I really have played time in.
That was a good game.
Most RPGs, it's not been my jam.
Yeah, every once in a while I like to play on my own, but I typically like playing
Most of the time I play is when I play with you.
Yeah.
So.
That's it. Like, I don't have other people I play with. I would play with some of our fans. That'd be fantastic.
I know. I guess I have played with like my brother, and we did play Helldivers with Preston the other day.
Yeah,
so
that was cool.
We just got to get a larger group.
It sound like he was like and I didn't know. I thought he had a headset, but it was funny because his girlfriend was in the background. She's like,
talks so much when she games. It's the funniest thing. It's
so
like, she was the most vocal gamer in the whole group.
I know, it was hilarious. Like, and she's in the background, and I was like, I was laughing because I'm listening
she's
to her
so
conversation.
Funny.
She's hilarious.
Yeah,
shout out to Preston as well. Well, hey man, this is cool, and I'm glad that we are having this episode. We released this right before 420, but you guys need to pay attention to our social media.
Yeah, we're going to actually be live streaming on 420 at Dragonfly Wellness. So you can tune in on Instagram.
We'll be on Instagram live.
We'll also have a show published later. And if you guys are in Utah or stopping through, stop by at Dragonfly Wellness in Salt Lake on 420.
Yeah.
Stop by and say hi. So yeah, we'll be at the booth, hanging out.
We'll be front and center. We'll be
having a sesh.
Yeah, just going over everything about cannabis, talking to people locally who just got their cards. Like, we're really excited to be able to be a part of that process. And Dragonfly has been such a wonderful host to be able to sponsor that.
And with 420 around the corner, remember, if you guys do get really high, super anxious, take lemon juice.
Yeah, keep it with you.
CBD. These things will help bring you down really quick. You don't have to ride out a shitty experience. Make sure it's something you enjoy.
Oh, and real quick, and we got no sponsorship with them right now. Go check out Flint Mints. We got an order of these. They've got different strengths, but it's awesome for dry mouth.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Super tasty, and they work really well.
It says the dose is 3, but really, we could rock one, and it was just fine.
It was great, and I didn't get the clicking. And sometimes you just don't want to drink water all the time. So check out Flint Mints, and yeah.
Love you guys.
Take care.